Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1, this we're going to read. Jack's nice to see you. And this young lady back here, I don't know, you've been here before, haven't you? It's nice to see you back. Praise God. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now, there's many voices in this life. There's many people who have a conviction to communicate to mankind the testimony of God. To stand up and be a witness for God. To stand up and testify about the one who has the answers to life. Amen? But you know, although there's many voices who speak for God, not all speak from God's Holy Spirit. Now, we can have good intentions to glorify God and to communicate His testimony and make a difference in life. And I mean really kick a hole in the gates of hell and break the bondage that people find themselves in. I mean, we can really set the flames of revolution in this life, but we need to do it in the right way from the right source. Or it's not going to stand up in the final battle. The final conflict of the ages is shaping up. Evil is becoming more evil. Evil is becoming more powerful. Becoming more deceptive. And when I say more, I mean in reality it probably always was. But as far as relating to this time and age, relating to mankind, it's coming to a peak. Evil has got many faces. And we as Christians have got to stand up and we've got to be able to take on evil in this final conflict. We've got to meet evil on its own territory and we've got to do some damage to the kingdom of Satan. We've got to shake the kingdom of Satan like it's never been shaken before since Jesus Christ walked this earth. I want you to know something. When a young lad named Jesus walked this earth, the kingdom of Satan was shaking. Amen. I wished I could have been there to watch. Now, I wouldn't want to give up this time and age. I want to live right now. But if I could go back and just live a few years back there and watch that young rebel named Jesus walk the streets of Nazareth and Jerusalem, I mean, that would be quite an experience. I'd like to lay eyes upon him when he was 11 and 12 and 15 and 18 and 21. Now, I want you to know he was not some Pharisee-type Christian that walked around never saying anything, never stirring up a little excitement. I mean, even at, 11 years old in the church, we find him and his parents going around and around, in a way. Now, I'm not promoting disobedience to your parents here. We've already got plenty of that, and we don't need any help. But, you know, Jesus' mother said, "Why in the world did you do this to me? You frightened me. Running off without saying anything. What are you doing here?" "I'm doing my Father's business." That just gives me a little hint there that Jesus is kind of a wild character. Not doing the standard. Sitting here at 11 years old and teaching the deacons of the church. I mean, I don't think that some of our elders and deacons and those that have been around a little longer. I mean, can you imagine? We walk in and 11, who's 11 years old here? Anybody 11, around 11? Justin, how old are you? Well, that's pretty close. Ryan, what are you? 11 years old. I mean, can you imagine? You know? I would like to have a demonstration. You know, me and my demonstrations. Let's have some of you come up here with my demonstration. Brother Stover, come on up here and Dad, come on up here, and Harry, come on up here, and Frank, come on up here. Dan, come on up here, if you would, please. And Gerald, come on up here. Stand over here, kind of in a semicircle here. I like these demonstrations, illustrations. I mean, there's some fine men in our church. Brother Potts, would you come on up here, too? I know these guys said, come on, don't make a fool out of us now. Now, here's, can you imagine walking in the temple and seeing some established characters like this? Now, this is not the post office right here. These are not posters on a wall. But these are men of God that's lived many years. Dan reads the Bible night and day, and Brother Potts over here, he's a man of God. All these guys are. And Justin, come on up here. He's about 11 years old. Stand right here in the middle of these guys. Okay, here we go. Now, take a look at this. Now, let's go in our mind's eye back to Jesus' day. And here we walk in, we see all these deacons and fine men standing around this young guy. Look at this. Now, Justin, I want you to kind of point at them and kind of act like you're teaching them. You can play act a little bit here. Stick your hand out there and go like this, you know. Do that. Okay. Now, wouldn't that look kind of strange? Hey, you've got a hand clap offering, okay? You can be seated. But you see what I mean? I hope that woke you up. You didn't. How many say you didn't quite visualize that? Now you got the vision of what was taking place here. I got some young lad about like Justin was standing up teaching the elders like you just saw. Now, that's revolutionary. That's not some young, ten-horned kid, you know, Pharisee Christian, you know, just stuttering around. Hey, we got a young lad like Justin up there saying, now listen, and teaching them. That's awesome, isn't it? Justin, think about that. You don't have to be a young, little, wimpy kid running around here. You could be a dynamic teacher in this church. Yeah. Amen. All of you can. And I forgot what I was even talking about, but it was so exciting, you know. But, you know, when we come in the power of God and through the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, we can see Amber get excited. We even saw Shane get up here, old long-haired hippie. Get up here. What was your code name again? Old Vice, get up here, you know, and have the courage to have his shirt tail out, you know, and long hair, and not that I don't, but, you know, see how short mine is? I believe in short hair, you know, I got short hair, you know, unless I got my street hair on, but anyway, get up here and actually trying to tell you that's been around a long time about music. I mean, man, Brother Stover, how long you been singing music? 30 years? 40 years? Brother Harry, how long you been singing music? Enough, right? Been singing music. 50 years. And this young ten-horn kid gets up and tries to tell you about music? Isn't that exciting? No, I like that. Because when you're led of the Holy Spirit, you can do dynamic things. But if you're going to come with excellency of speech, if your testimony of God is going to come from what you've learned in this life, and if your testimony is going to stand in your education, and your testimony is going to come by what you picked up from people around you, you don't have much to talk about. But if your speech is not in the excellency of man's wisdom, but it's like Paul's going to talk about here, listen, you can get something done. Amen? So it says in verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, that could mean a lot of different things, but I think one thing it means here is that when Paul came, he wasn't a show-off. He didn't come in and try to claim he knew everything and get involved and just, you know, so he could demonstrate his wisdom and talents to the congregation. You can do this in many different ways. There's a lot of ways to get lifted up. You can be an expert on everything. You can give words of prophecy. Everybody walks around you. Thus saith the Lord God, thus saith the Lord God, thus saith the Lord God. Boy, I know everything about your life. I'm a person of wisdom and knowledge, and boy, God wants you to do that. And you know, we can just get into a bunch of this. And I mean, I believe in prophecy. I believe in words of knowledge. I've used it. But I believe some people get caught up in that, and they go around, and that's how they feel superior to everybody else. Because, man, I got a message from you from God. And I know all about you from your birth. First time I ever met you, looked you in your eyes. You know, those, you know, we can get carried away and get involved in this and that and the other, but you know what Paul says here? He didn't come lifted up, puffed up in knowledge and all of this and thinking he was something great. He says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's knowledge, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Now, that's what we're talking about here. He came with a recognizing his weakness as a human being. He came trembling, knowing that he didn't have all the answers. He did not come with the wisdom of all of man being demonstrated here. He was trembling and in fear and in weakness. He was a very humble person. He wasn't a know-it-all. When you came to him for an answer, he just didn't, you know, shoot off the top of his head and had to answer everything. You know, that's something I've learned in my ministry or in Christ's ministry that he's allowed me to be a part of, is that I don't have to know all the answers. And I don't always have to give an opinion on everything. Some of you that are involved in my life in a more personal way, that you have contact with me, I hope what I say you agree with, that sometimes you talk to me, I say, I don't know. I don't always have an answer for you. I could give you an answer. There's always an answer, but I'm not always sure that I have the right answer for you. Sometimes I say, I don't know. And we've got to be, you know, and at that frame of mind, not show-offs and egotistic and go around and always think what we think's got to be the answer. Now, it doesn't take a leader to think that away. Kids can think that away. Little 10-year-olds can have an attitude like that. 3-year-olds can have an attitude like that. Don't let your children grow up with that attitude. Don't let your little 3-year-old run around or 4-year-old run around like he's the boss. Like he's got, like everything rotates around him or her. Teach him young to be humble and teach him to recognize their limitations, that they don't have all the answers. And we need to be that with each other. And stop being so powerful in our opinions and get so offended that people don't agree with us. There's all kinds of signs of being egotistic and self-centered. And it's an attitude. There's many different faces to this attitude. But it's an attitude that does not promote the testimony of God. And why is we as leaders should be careful in this? We as leaders should be careful that we don't get... Let our wisdom of man be overwhelming to others. I believe that every time you've ever come to me, I could give you a pretty sensible answer to your problems. Because I've got a lot of experience in counseling, 17 years. I've read the Bible through a lot of times, and I've shared a lot of knowledge with, and God shared a lot of knowledge with me. And I think every single time you ask me anything, I could give you a pretty good answer. But if I did, I think I'd be pretty stupid. Because you see, if I teach you that you've got to stand in my knowledge to stand, that I got all the answers, come to the dictionary, Mike Akins, and get it, then you will be standing in man's wisdom, and you'll be dependent on man and not dependent on God. Now, there's a balance we've got to strike in the middle of this. Because we do want to be helpful and give knowledge of God and such. Because we need men of God that has labored in the Word and labored on his knees and went through the experiences that I've went through to lead and direct and guide. We need that in life. If we don't have it, we're not going to be strong anyway. But I, as a leader, have got to be careful that I teach you that you're going to have to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ and not with Mike Akins only. That your strength is going to come from him. And that you've got to read those scriptures. You've got to know those scriptures. You've got to know what the Word says. You've got to stand in the Word and stand in the power of God. You don't get to heaven through association with somebody else. You don't become great by association with somebody else. You've got to develop too. Now, we don't want to be competitive, and we don't want to be self, you know. Some people get to the point that nobody can teach me. I'm going to go and get it all myself. That's pride. There's a few like that. Well, you know, I can get all the answers on my own. Well, I'm going to tell you something, you can't. God wants us to depend on each other. And he wants you to be submissive to your leader. He wants you to be in subjection to your leader. So he's probably going to let your leader know a little bit more than you. So that you can keep unity there. But we can overdo anything. And we as Christians, you and each other, husband and wives, friends, leaders in the various Christian businesses we have, relationships. Come on. Don't be so self-centered and so egotistic that you and so sure of yourselves. Let's be more humble, more fearful, more trembling, and very and I believe then God will demonstrate himself in a more mighty way in your life. Amen. And verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world, that come to naught. And here it's talking about those who seem so important in this world, the authorities in this life, the theologians in this life. We're not going to go quoting the theologians. Let's go to Christ. Let's stand in his knowledge. Amen. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden mystery which God ordained before the earth unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, here, I believe the Bible is sharing something with us that's really beautiful. You know, we can go to Help Aids, and we can go to the concordance, and we can go to the books that people have written, commentaries, and we can go around, you know, quoting them and standing on their studies and on experiences. But if we do, we're going to miss something beautiful. Every one of you, God's got something for you that he's going to let you be a part of. Something special, uniquely you. He's going to talk to you personally and give you wisdom and knowledge that he probably won't give anybody else in your group. So that we all can need each other. We all can share. If you look into your heart, if you look into Christ, if you drink from his spirit, he will share with you a mystery. What's a mystery? Something you don't know, right? Something interesting that you don't know. It's a mystery. But it's not a mystery to God. It's something rich and known by God that he shares with you. It's a mystery to you. But it's something that brings life to others. It's something that brings a revolutionary experience to others. Shirley Childs, let me tell you something. You have got something to share. You've got something to share that we all need that we don't know. Isn't it exciting? You've got something to share I need, and you better get on the ball because I'm impatient. You see what I mean? You've got something to share. And I'm not just up here saying this. It's true. God doesn't want idiots running around, so I can't know it all. Gerald, I'm sorry. I don't know if I told you this yet, but you can't know it all. We read the Bible all our lives and we won't know it all. God won't let us know it all because he wants Grandma Ruby to share something. Right. Amen? He wants Helen to share something. He wants Katie to share something. He wants Harry to share something. He wants Gene to share something. He wants every one of you to be a part of this rich mystery that he's trying to reveal to us to revolutionize our lives. And if you just go ahead and open your mind up to it and let all these self-conscious feelings drop aside and say, okay, the Bible says that I believe it. What do you got, Lord? God will share with you the mysteries of life that we all need. We'll share with each other, and then we'll have all that God has for us. Amen? I get real excited when I think about what it says in the next verse about how fantastic this knowledge of life is. Listen what it says. But it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That's what we got to share. Something that has not been heard, something that has not been seen, something that's not even entered into your mind or any man's mind. He said, now wait a minute. I mean, look at all the people that's ever lived. You mean something that's ever been thought? How many believe that God's got more knowledge out there than ever been thought by all of mankind put together? If God gave every one of us a brand new thought today to add to this system of thinking, we wouldn't even scratch the surface of what God's got upstairs. And his upstairs is a long ways upstairs. I mean, he's got upstairs that includes the whole universe. God's got rich knowledge to share, life, words of life for all of us. He could give us brand new thoughts every minute. Think about that. And just say every hour, every one of you come up with a brand new thought that no man has ever thought in all the histories of time. Every hour. He could go on for a million years and we cannot scratch the surface of what God knows. Isn't that exciting? You ever thought about that? We've got it to share. Connie Moseman, you've got something to share. Amen? Linda, you've got something to share. Let's get sharing it. Let's go in our secret place with God and get intimate and say, God, you mean I got something to share? He says, yes, something just for you that nobody else knows. You see? That's wonderful, isn't it? And it goes on to say, but God hath revealed unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of God, save the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. We don't want to gain the spirit of the world, what's behind the life of the world, what's behind their knowledge, what's behind their source, their motivation. Don't use the world to motivate you, but go to God, the creator of motivation itself. Don't go to the world to know how to do things for knowledge. Go to knowledge himself. Amen. And it goes on in verse 13, which things also we speak not in words, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. You don't have to know to say it a certain way. You don't have to say it in such an intellectual way. Amen? How many believe that Justin said something this morning when he got up here and showed you something? How many thinks he said something? How many honestly got a real revelation out of that? I did. I didn't even expect it to be so dynamic. And God said, get him up here. What I was trying to do, because I told you about a little fellow, Jesus Christ, teaching elders. And, you know, in my mind, I visualize a picture of that, don't you? Jesus in the temple with the elders. But until Justin got up there, I'd be honest with you, it didn't even have the impact it did until after he got up there. When Justin got up there, about how tall are you, Justin? Do you know? I don't know, how about 2'9" or 3 foot, I don't know. When he got up there against 6 foot giants and he started shaking that finger right there, but the lights went on in my mind. He spoke to me. Now, he didn't get out there in some intellectual voice and say, well, now, I want you all to comprehend exactly what I'm saying here. Did he say that? He said, when you take your realities of all, you know, he didn't say anything like that. He just got up there and went. And we learned something. He spoke to us spiritually. Amen? A spiritual demonstration of life and truth and wisdom. And you, listen, each of you can say something. You don't have to be so intellectual about it. You might stutter it out. I believe when Doris got up here, she said something very meaningfully from God. It was touching to my heart. And we all need to learn this reality, amen? But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Can we learn anything from that verse? A natural person cannot learn from God. What's a natural person as comparison to a spiritual person? Now, the word natural there in the Greek is psuche, if I pronounce that right. And that word is soul. A soulish person cannot learn. What's a soulish person? Soulish is self. It's the emotional part of you. It's a part of your mind that just looks out for you in this life. One place in the Bible it says, talks about losing the soul. Then it goes on in another verse, a parallel verse, says himself. He that loses his life, the words their soul. Then it goes on to say losing himself. That is the self. The soul is myself. It's a unique self. It's to me. If I'm a self person, if I'm a selfish person, if I'm a self-centered person, then all I look at is what's rotating around my life. I cannot learn from God, because God is not going to teach you just to be a blessing to yourself and take care of yourself. Make sure you feed yourself, dress yourself, put yourself to bed, you know, wipe your nose, you know, feed yourself, and make sure everything's going to be okay in your life. Make sure that you can maintain yourself until you die so you can be buried. Isn't that what we do? Oh, I've got to make sure I feed myself. Why? Well, I got to keep alive. Why? Well, so I can die. Why? So I can be buried. Why? Isn't that true? Oh, man, I've got to make sure. I mean, man, self is miserable. It's a prison. Living for self will make you so insensitive to other people, because you'll be too sensitive to yourself. It'll make you hypersensitive. You know what that is? You stepped on my toe. You breathed on me. You breathed wrong. Stop breathing on me. You looked at me. What are you thinking about me? I seen you looking at me, Paul. What was you thinking? Well, you whispered. I seen you whispering to your wife. You had to be talking about me. How many have ever seen someone whisper and you thought they was talking about you? That's self-centeredness. Everything in this world does not rotate around you. If I walked past you and I was looking like this, what would you think? What's he thinking about? Well, he's mad at me. How many think I was mad at you if I looked at you like this? How many think that? Honestly, how many think I was mad at you? Stop being so self-centered. Every time I get a frown on my face doesn't mean it has to do something with you. Can't I just be mad at myself? I could use a mirror around, walk around the mirror in front of me all the time, look at myself mad. But I can't walk around the mirror. I might fall down and trip over a rock or something. You know what I mean? Guess what? Sometimes I'm going to be in a bad mood, and guess what? It doesn't have anything to do with you. You ever think about that? I'm sure you have. Stop being so self-centered. Every time a person gets mad and blasts out some words, or they have a bad look on their face, or they have a bad day, that you think it's because of you. Guess what? It probably isn't anything to do with you. People are too selfish to worry about you. Be mad at you all the time. Self-centeredness is a prison to live in, and it drives you nuts. And if you're going to be a self-centered person, then you are not going to be a spiritual person. God will give you spiritual knowledge if you get other people on your mind. When someone looks at you with a frown on their face, let your heart be touched that maybe they're having a bad day. You see what I mean? When someone steps on your toes, just remember, it might have hurt the bottom of their foot. Okay? Be sensitive to that person. Don't be self-centered and think everything that rotates around you. That's what it talks about here, natural person. But as we're ending up here, it says in verse 15, but he that is spiritual, He that thinks with the mind of God, he that cares about other people, that's not self-centered, that cares about the eternal things, that's not feeding himself so he can bury himself in 60 or 80 years, that's feeding himself to give me one more day of life so I can touch somebody else's life. You know what I mean? Why am I alive? For you, not for me. Why are you alive? For us, not for you. Why did Jesus live? Not for himself, but for all mankind. Amen? Why do you do what you do? Why do you drive that old junky car for? Not for you, but for others. Amen? We live, we sleep, we breathe for others. Why do you got that bank account? So you can minister to others. Amen? And I'm talking about a piggy bank, of course. Amen? What did the Bible say? If you're going to judge, if you're going to help somebody else out, if you think you're smart enough to help somebody else out, you better get the big old beam out of your own eye, because that beam is going to keep you from seeing straight. You're going to judge people in relationship to what you think about yourself, about your own problems. Your insecurities are going to influence your vision. You're not going to be able to take that little splinter out of somebody else's eye, that little mote, because your insecurities have got you too wrapped up in self. You can't judge anything when you're selfish. Amen? But if you are unselfish and spiritual, you can actually look and understand all things. You can look at people and understand their problem. You can help them. You can judge all things. It's not talking about condemning everybody, but you can make a decision. You can see and perceive, because you're not self-centered. Yet he himself is judged as no man. Nobody else figure you out. Nobody's going to be able to figure you out if you are a spiritual person. They can't figure you out because you're thinking the thoughts of God. They don't understand you. They think you're a fruitcake. I said, my goodness, what motivates you? They're going to misunderstand you. Is that all right? If God understands you and everybody else misunderstands you, is that all right? Yeah. You're a spiritual person. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? That we have the mind of Christ, amen, within us. So let's think about that today. Amen? Let's have a great testimony of God, because we're going to be unselfish in our perceptions. We're going to be spiritually minded, caring about others, thinking about others. And when we speak, we're not going to worry about how we sound or if we got the right words to say, or if we're going to give what we got. Whatever God's given us, we're going to share. We're all going to be a part of that beautiful, wonderful picture that God is painting in this world. Amen? The end. Praise God. To some heart that's struggling. In Jesus' name. Amen.